glad that God's good. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2 in our Bibles this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Boy, we had a wonderful men's prayer breakfast yesterday. And I'll tell you, we serve the Lord. We buffeted our bodies, just like the Apostle Paul said did. He buffeted his body. We buffeted our bodies. We spent some time in prayer. It was a good time. I tell you this, I love to spend time in prayer with God's people. You know, God still hears and God answers prayer. And we have a lot to pray about, that's for sure. I hope you'll pray about our revival meetings. Hope you'll pray about a youth rally. Hope you'll pray for our country. The list can go on and on. And let's continue to pray for one another. We're in the middle of our Relationship Robbers series. How many of you are familiar with Romans 12, 18? Raise your hand. You're all familiar with it. The Bible says this, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And we've quoted this verse almost every week just to help us to remember that I have a responsibility to do my part. It is easy when it comes to relationships to think that the problem is with the other person. And it probably is. But you can't do anything to change them. All you can do is change you. And so let's ask God to take truth and to change our hearts today and to help us to see ourselves in the way that He sees us and to have victory in our life. A number of weeks ago, I was coming down from this building to the office building, and there was a man down there that I had never met before. And somehow, I guess I left the office building open. So obviously, I leave it unlocked if I come from there to here because I'm coming back there. And he was in the office, and he met me, and I said, "Oh, how you doing?" And he said he was okay, an older fella. And what brought him here was the sign out front. And what was on the sign, by the way, sometimes people come by and take pictures. You know, you just drive by it every week, and you don't see it, right? But there are people that stop and park in there and take pictures of the sign. Matter of fact, out there, often when I'm telling people where our church is, the light turns on when they think, oh, you're the church with that sign out there, aren't you? Yeah, we're the church with the sign out there. In any event, he saw an advertisement for Relationship Robbers. And we chat a little bit, explained, and here's what he said. All right, this is exactly what he said. And he said, "Are you going to deal with cell phones in that Relationship Robbers series?" And I chuckled a little. And I said, "Yes, that is kind of a distraction for people." And he said, "Yes." And he said, "No offense, I'm just telling you what he said, ladies. I'm just telling you what he said, so don't get offended here." But he said, "Yes, this is my wife's problem. She is on the phone nonstop, constantly, and she's on the phone, and it is a problem." And I said, "Well, we'll deal with it at one place or another, and we're not going to deal with today the relationship robber of cell phones, okay? But we are going to do this. Sometimes there's distractions and stuff. Here's what we're going to deal with today, the relationship robber of misplaced priorities." And really the reason why someone would be on their phone, you've seen it. You've been out to eat. Maybe you've been out to eat, and you're out in the restaurant, and they're walking to their table, and you see a husband and a wife, and they're sitting at the table, and he's on his phone, and she's on her phone. And I think, why are you spending money to be here on your phones? I don't say anything. Sometimes I've seen families, you go past a family, and all four of them, or however many there are, they're sitting there on their cell phones, and I'm sure they're not texting each other. Some of these places, you get there and they want you to pay by this machine. You ever see that machine that sits there, you know? I just plead ignorance. I don't know how that machine works. I'm paying cash, so I make them come and push all the buttons in, you know. But they try to get you to play games on that machine. And I'm thinking, why would I want to go out to eat to play games on this machine? I'm here to talk to my wife or whoever I'm with. Distractions, priorities. And what I want to do today is the same thing we've done in this whole series. I want to look at the condition of misplaced priorities, and we're just going to look at some stories in the Bible, and then I want to look at the cure, all right? So we're looking at the condition of misplaced priorities. Let's look at, we're in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I have a little bit of a problem here, and I'm going to share it with you real quick, and then we're going to get into the message. It has nothing to do with the message. So, a number of weeks ago, I was playing basketball over there in the fellowship hall with Wild Man Tim. And if you know who Wild Man, if you don't know who Wild Man Tim is, I'll tell you. And he, instead of rebounding the ball, he decided to, nobody was going to even touch the ball. And it was out there, and he swatted this ball 100 miles an hour. And poor little old me was just standing there, and this ball hit my finger and kind of jammed it. And maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't noticed, that I haven't been able to get this ring on this here. This knuckle is just kind of big. And so eventually my wife started saying, "Hey, where's your wedding ring?" And so I decided to wear it on this pinky finger. In any event, how many of you are Amazon people? This has nothing to do with the message, Amazon. So I had this crazy idea that I was going to figure out how to stretch a ring. Any of you ever stretch a ring before? I have a kit that I can sell you real cheap. So I bought this thing online, and I watched the video, and it worked, except I got this off the thing this morning, and now it's a little bit too big. So now I'm thinking I'm going to be preaching, and my fingers will zoom. So I'm going to just this morning take it off and set it right there, and I'll solve my problem sometime this week. You'll see a red tape around it. All right, nothing to do with the message. Here we go. Priorities. That was my priority to get it fixed. I can wear it now. All right, 1 Samuel chapter number 2. We're going to read a story, a brief summary of Eli and his family. The Bible says this, verse 11 of 1 Samuel 2. "And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Now hold on just a second. Wasn't Eli the priest there? Wasn't Eli the man that was acting on behalf of God? Yes, he was. But his sons knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when a man offered sacrifice, the priest came, servant came, while the flesh was in seething, with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or caldron or pot. All the fleshing hook brought up the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites who came hither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And we're looking at what they did. They're taking a little for themselves when they shouldn't have. "And if any man said unto them, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, Nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Slide down to verse 22. "Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto Israel, unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." When you go to chapter 3, the judgment of the Lord comes upon Eli and his house. Through Samuel, "For I have told," verse 13, "for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." And of course, God judges them in chapter 4, verse 11 and verse number 18. We read here a story of a man by the name of Eli, who God had given him sons, God had given him children that he should have tried to rear in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And somehow, Eli's priorities got out of whack. Somehow, something became more important to Eli than rearing his children. And the Bible calls them sons of Belial. The Bible says that they did not know the Lord. The Bible says that God had to judge Eli and his house because Eli had misplaced priorities. Can I say this? Of course, I could preach a whole message just on this one story. The reality is, don't let anything come between you and God. Our priorities are very, very important. And we live in a world where many things are calling for our time. Eli is a bad example because though he ruled God's people, he didn't rule his own home. His priorities were out of whack. and God took and judged him and his family. He had a priority problem, amongst other things. Can you turn to the New Testament, John chapter number 12? John chapter number 12, and we read the story of another individual that I think had a priority problem. He had the opportunity of, just like the other 11, he had opportunity to be with Jesus. He had opportunity to hear Jesus preach and to see Jesus work miracles. He had a great opportunity, yet his priorities were out of whack. He loved something more than Jesus. He loved himself and he loved money. And the Bible says in John 12 and verse number 6, "This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein." Judas was a thief. Judas was covetous. Judas made the love of money more important in his life than the love of being with the Lord Jesus. He had priorities that were out of whack. And Jesus says to him in John chapter 13 and verse number 27 there at the Last Supper, "After the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus to him, that thou doest, do quickly." In Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 5, the Bible says that Judas cast the silver down. He had betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and went, and the scripture says, hanged himself. Here's an individual that had plenty of opportunity, had before him what the other disciples had, the opportunity to hear from Jesus, to see Jesus work, to see Jesus teach, to see Jesus perform miracles. He had time to allow Jesus to change his life, and instead, he chose the love of money. Can I say this? Opportunities to be with Jesus ought to be our priority. You ought to be right at the top. Opportunities to learn from Jesus. There's a lot of things that you can spend doing your time. We spend our time doing things that don't really matter. And Judas here, none of it mattered. He hung himself and really died and went to hell when he had opportunity to have so much more. And we have opportunity to have so much more because we have Jesus. And yet sometimes God's people will spend little time, if any time, with the Lord Jesus. Our priorities get out of whack, misplaced priorities. Eli didn't spend the time with his children in the relationships that he had that he could have made more of a priority, and hence we might not read that his sons were sons of Belial. Judas had opportunities to spend time with Jesus, and had he taken advantage of and capitalized those time, we probably wouldn't read in the Word of God what we read concerning Judas. Priorities. Our priorities are very important. Look at Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. It's not worth it, by the way. It's not worth it not taking time with Jesus, making him our priority. In Acts chapter number 5, we see some church members, probably had a decent relationship with their church, probably had a decent relationship with the pastor of the church, but these guys got their priorities out of whack as well. The Bible says they sold some land, Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land and they kept back, verse 2 of Acts 5, they kept back part of the price. His wife was privy to it. They're in on this together. And he brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. For some reason, they didn't want to tell him, hey, we kept back some for us. They wanted to appear to look better than they were. And they bring this offering and they lay at the apostles' feet and they say, here's the money we got for our land. And the Bible says, you're familiar with the story. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? To keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've lied unto men, but you've also lied unto God. And he died. And the same thing happens to Sapphira. Hey, these individuals, Ananias and Sapphira, kind of lost their life. They lost the relationship they had with their church, right? Lost the relationship they had with Peter and the other apostles because God killed them in judgment. Why did they do this? Because there was something in their priorities that was more important than doing what was right. Their priorities were out of whack. They thought, I can sell this land, we can keep a little bit, no one will know it, and we can get away with it. And the Bible says what? Be sure your sin will find you out. You know, what we sow, we reap. And God gives us a free will to prioritize things in our lives. And if we choose to not prioritize our relationship with God like Judas, it's going to come back and bite us. If we choose not to prioritize our relationships in our family and in our home, it's going to come back and bite us. You see, the Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There are consequences to the decisions that we make. Ananias and Sapphira, they lost it, had a good relationship with their church, and boom. I want you to turn to one other example. And I want you to look at Philemon Chapter 1, verse 24. Philemon 1, verse 24. And then you got to find that one, right? Where is Philemon? All right. After Titus is Philemon. My Bible has one little skinny page. And if you have the same kind I do, it's on page 1727. Say thanks for that help. Appreciate it so much. Philemon 24. If you don't find it, it's okay. I'm going to be quick. Philemon, they're writing, and he says there, salute Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, verse 23, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. All I want you to see here in this passage is that Demas was a fellow laborer. All right? He was a fellow laborer. You see reference to Demas in the book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 14. But remember what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10? Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Having loved this present world. There was something that happened in the life of Demas. He faithfully served the Lord. He was serving there alongside the Apostle Paul and others. And he got his eyes on the world. He got his eyes maybe on something that he didn't have, or something that someone else has, something that he wanted. And he got his eyes on the world, and his priorities shifted. And rather than make God and serving God his priority, serving something else became his priority. Misplaced priorities. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what the end result of Demas and what happened. Suffice it to say, Paul just says to Timothy, he loved this present world. He forsook me. Priorities are important. The right priorities are important. And when it comes to our relationships with one another, it's important to recognize that I have a relationship with God, and that relationship is the most important relationship. And that relationship is going to affect the other relationships that I have. But as we look at the illustrations of the Word of God here, we see we see Eli with a family. We see the relationship with God. We see the things of the world and allowing the world to mess up our priorities. I want us to turn to Colossians chapter 3, and I want to take a few minutes here, and I want to just give some helps when it comes to having the right priorities. Colossians chapter 3 is a great passage. They're all great passages. And I've tried to limit our study here really to one particular chapter to make it easy for us, and Colossians chapter 3 is a tremendous chapter, I think, dealing with priorities. Now, before we get to where we're going to focus, which is the first four verses, I want you to look at verse number 18, because the chapter starts in verse 1, and then we find ourselves in verse 18. In verse number 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Husbands, verse 19, love your wives. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Now, servants, verse 22, obey in all things your masters. Now, what are we dealing with at the end of this chapter? We're dealing with relationships, right? Our series is Relationship Robbers. And the chapter ends then with admonition to be what we're supposed to be in our relationships. And that is based on what? The foundation that we find in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so I want to take just a few minutes and I want to help us when it comes to this matter of the right priorities, the right priorities. Verse 1 of Colossians 3, we'll read verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." The chapter starts off, "If you then be risen with Christ." Literally, it is since you are risen with Christ. Do you know our relationship with God makes our relationships with others, right relationship with others, possible? Hey, so what I want to do is I want to challenge us when it comes to our salvation. And I want to challenge us in three ways. Number one, it is important for us, if we're going to have the right priorities, that we allow our salvation to affect our purpose. To allow our salvation, since you are risen with Christ, the next phrase says, seek those things which are above. The idea here is to desire or to seek what pertains to heaven. To desire or to seek what pertains to eternity. How many of you have ever lost something? You ever lose something? All right. Any ladies ever lost a wedding ring? That's big time serious. Right up there with losing your $5,000 wedding ring is losing your cell phone. You know, that's probably number one, right? Oh, I lost this. People can't live without. By the way, I don't know where mine is this morning. It just vanished. It got raptured. I don't know where it is, so it's okay. So if you try to connect with me this afternoon and I don't connect back, I'm still looking for my phone, all right? And it's somewhere, and it's going to be good. But, you know, the reality is when you lose something, that's all you can think about. And you come down, and he says, could you, no, help, don't talk to me, I got to find my, and you look all over, and you look all over again, and again, and again, and again, and again. There's an active pursuit for that thing that you have to find. And the reality is, we are to seek those things which are above. Really, our purpose. As we think concerning our purpose on life, we're Christians. They were called Christians first there in Antioch in the Acts chapter 11. And we're Christians. We're Christians. Our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. And yet the Bible admonishes many, many times in the Word of God for us to make that our purpose. Matthew 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal." Apostle Paul said there in Philippians, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." He said later in that chapter, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What is our purpose? When we wake in the morning, what do we think about? Our purpose needs to be heavenward. We need to recognize that we're to seek those things which are above. When my purpose becomes a heavenly purpose, my relationships will become more of a priority, and handling relationships in a biblical manner will be more important because I recognize what matters. Do my relationships matter or do things matter? Do you know people matter more than things? Amen. I know there's a balance, right? Every mom has to find that balance, right? They raise a teen boy, and teen boys like to just leave things all over. They leave trails all over the place, right? And some teen boys leave trails all over the church. And it's okay. It's okay. They leave trails. And there's a balance, right? The mom says, you got to pick up after yourself. This is driving me crazy, right? And the teen boy says, someday, shortly, I'm going to Bible college, and you're going to miss all my messes. You're just going to miss me and my messes. You know, there's a balance there. But ultimately, relationships matter. People matter more than things. And sometimes we get it flipped around. Sometimes we're not seeking those things which are above. Secondly, just remember this when it comes to relationships. The Christian people that you don't get along here on earth are going to be in heaven. So you might as well just try to get along with them here on earth, all right? Look at verse number 2, and I want to give you a second. So, all right, we have to allow our salvation to affect your purpose. Number 2, allow your salvation to affect your pondering. You see, why do you use that word instead of the word thinking? 2 reasons. Number 1, it goes, you know, purpose, pondering. But really, number 2, that's what it says. That's what it actually means. When you look at this, set your affection on things above. The idea is to direct one's thoughts or to focus our thinking or to keep thinking about. It's in the present tense. When I keep thinking about something, I am pondering on that something. So my purpose needs to be heavenward, and that's going to affect then how I think here on earth. I set my affection on things above. It is important that we recognize what we allow into our brain is going to affect us. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is why, by the way, I think it's important that we spend time in this book, that we hide God's word in our heart, that we may not sin against him. Many of God's people will spend more time reading other books and listening to the news and listening to this and that podcast. There's a lot of information out there nowadays. And I tell you this, if you want to let the peace of God rule your heart, you need to this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you listen to all kinds of stuff out there and it's going to affect you. You know, you got people out there saying, I'm kind of a balanced person, right? But you got people that are saying, man, you need to stock up. You need to have 6 months of food in your basement. And I'm for preparation, but I ask him this question. Okay, so what am I supposed to do? I got 6 months of food, and my neighbor comes over. Can I have some beans? No? Am I going to shoot him with a gun? You know, church member Brian Talbot was a pastor, man. Things are really tough. Can I have some green beans? No, man. Get out of my house. These are mine. What? You know, you can, look, unless you're a millionaire and you got some warehouse hidden in the woods where no one else knows, you can stock up and you can take care of yourself maybe. But, you know, really the reality is, I mean, we can prepare and plan, but the reality is you can't stock up enough unless you're going to shoot all your neighbors and everybody else. That, I mean, it's a little bit of a short circuit. There's people out there to tell you that. You listen, I mean, there's podcasts, there's all kinds of stuff. But the Bible says this, we are to be thinking about, by the way, whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure and righteous, we're to think on these things, which means this, we are to control our own brains, we're to control what we think about here on earth. You can talk yourself into panic attacks if you listen to enough news and you listen to the wrong people. Hold on, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to just, our thinking is so important. Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, but foolish and unlearned question avoid, knowing they do gender strife. I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here's some other admonition in verse 3. 1 Timothy 6, 3, if you want to follow along, you can. By the time you get there, I might be done, but now I'm going to slow down a little bit here. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3. I'm sure you've experienced that before, and you have. We're so kind, you didn't tell me about it, and that's good, and it's all beautiful. 1 Timothy 6, 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We've got to be purpose heavenly. I'm living for not the here. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That's my purpose. My thinking then needs to affect me, and we'll see this in a minute as we look at our action, but I need to be thinking in a biblical way. By the way, if we think in a biblical way, it's going to help us when it comes to our relationships. Instead of saying, hey, it's my way or the highway, we think, what is the right way? What does the Bible say? How does God say that I should handle this? We've got to think biblically. If I'm going to think biblically, I'm going to have to read the Bible. I'm going to have to spend time in church. I'm going to have to do what I can to get the right things in to put on, and we'll see this in a minute, put on the new man and be thinking in a biblical way. Number three, I want us to see this and we'll be finished. Number three, not only do we allow our salvation to affect our purpose and our pondering, but number three, we allow our salvation to affect our practice. Verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The idea here is that we should so order our lives accordingly. My life is hid with Christ, therefore I'm ordering it accordingly. Paul said it this way, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I am crucified, right, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The book of Colossians tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so my purpose is heavenly. My thinking here as I process life is heavenward. And my practice then follows along with that. And we see there is, you've got a whole bunch of verses given, beginning in verse number 5, that deal with fleshly sins and spirit sins. Let's just read them real quick. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication deals with sexual immorality. Uncleanness deals with impurity, like pornography. Inordinate affection, homosexuality. Evil concupiscence, evil lusts. Covetousness, the idea of greed. Idolatry, we know things that I want more than God. And then we shift into some of the spirit sins. Look at verse number 8. Put off anger. Wrath is a loss of temper. Malice, ill will toward other people. What are we looking at? We're starting to look now at relationship issues. We're looking at blasphemy, a daily practice of evil speaking, filthy communication, foul speech, lying, verse 9, not telling the truth, we know that. And then we're to put off, and then we're to put on. What are we to put on? The new man, verse 10. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercy has to do with compassion. Kindness has to do with goodness. Humbleness of mind, humility. Meekness, a gentle spirit. Long-suffering, patience. Look at verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. What are we looking at? We're looking at the outward issues that we have in relationships. Since you're risen with Christ, because we are saved, our priorities can line up in the right way and it will affect our practice. It will affect our, it should affect our communication. The putting off, the putting on is an outflow of a relationship with God. We think concerning our priorities. Our relationships are affected by our carnality, by our fleshly sins, by our spirit sins. And if I start in verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 3 and I seek the things which are above, if I set my affection on things above, I'm thinking concerning that way. If I recognize that I'm hid with Christ in God, Christ lives in me, it's going to affect my outward, and it's going to affect the relationships that I have with one another. When I live for eternity, it makes a difference in what is really important. And two individuals can sit on a cell phone. Maybe they have a talk later or earlier, whatever, that's fine. They can have a priority that isn't what it ought to be if they're not thinking about the big picture and what really matters. What really matters? Priority. It's my relationship with God and my relationship with other people. What kind of priorities do we have? What are we living for? You say, how do I know? I tell you this. Analyze where you spend your time. Analyze how much you spend your time doing things that don't really matter versus doing things that do matter. I've said this here and many places. Many of God's people will never know the joy of leading somebody to Jesus Christ because they don't make it a priority. That's what God wants us to do, to reach people with the gospel. But it starts with the right priority. May God help us to have the right priorities. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for this passage. Lord, more could be said, but I thank you, Lord, for what we were able to cover this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek the things which are above. Would our purpose be heavenly? Would we set our affection on the things above? Lord, would we recognize that our thinking needs to be heavenly? Lord, in our practice, would we practice that which bears eternal fruit in our lives and in the lives of others? Lord, would you work now as we take a few minutes and allow you to do your work in our lives? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, are you here as a Christian? Did the Spirit of God take truth and show you a need in your life as a Christian? You see, Pastor, would you pray for me? God's working in my heart. Can I see your hands across here? Praise the Lord. Amen. Good. Amen. You put your hands down. Is there somebody here this morning? You say, boy, I don't know 100% sure my sins are forgiven and I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? That's my need. I'm not 100% sure my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you